Hallelujah. Good morning. How's everybody today? Praise be to God. Everybody turn to your neighbor on the right and say to them, may the Lord bless you. May the Lord keep you. And may he kick butt on your enemies and return to you what the devil has stolen. In Jesus' name. Now turn to the person on your left. And repeat after me. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord fill you. May he keep you in the secret place of the Most High. May he meet your needs far above all you could ever ask or think. And may he give you dreams and visions. In Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen.
Hallelujah. Now turn to Galatians 6. I didn't forget. Galatians chapter 6. No, we didn't forget the offering. We'll get to it. Galatians chapter 6. Is everybody there? Let's read this together, starting at verse 1. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one what? Examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Do not be what? Deceived. Do not be what? Deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For he who sows to his flesh, will the flesh reap corruption? But he who sows to the Spirit, will the Spirit reap everlasting life? Let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are the household of faith. In other words, we are to examine where we are standing. Where do we stand? Are we standing in light? Are we standing in darkness? Are we standing in an area where we're doing his will or we're doing our will? You know, I got to share something with you. If you don't read the word of God, you can't be doing his will. It's impossible. If you don't read the word of God, it's impossible to do the will of God. Just totally impossible. How? Why? Because you don't know what his will is. Yes, his will is for us to be saved, but what else? How are you going to confirm the things that God is trying to tell you to do? So there's many people that just go to church. They go home, they do their rituals. They go home and they go back to their life instead of losing it. They say they love God, but yet they don't even have covenant. They're not maintaining covenant with him, because maintaining covenant with him, you have to read the word of God to know what his covenant is. So we are to examine ourselves and where we stand. Are we truly standing in that arena of walking in light or walking in deception? Are we really doing his will or are we doing our own? Don't stay deceived. Don't stay deceived. Come out of it. And sow in the Spirit. So where? In the Spirit. Come out of weariness. Everyone say, I'm coming out of weariness. And don't lose heart, because what God has told you will come to pass if you do something. Endure. Everyone say, endure. You know, one of the greatest things that the enemy attacks us on is discouragement. There's everyone that's here has been discouraged in one way or another. Amen? And discouragement is of the enemy. It's not of God. And many of us get discouraged. And that's why we need each other also to help stir us up and encourage us. That's why it's important to be in fellowship so that when you're down, somebody can help lift you up. But it is a ploy of the enemy to discourage. And one of the things that we get discouraged on is when things don't come the way we expect them to. Or maybe things that we have done that we knew were stupid. We made a mistake. And the enemy's always reminding you of it. So it brings you discouragement, doesn't it? And in this, there is a place where God is saying we can break through. These are called giants. And sometimes we run away from our giants. But today we're going to call this teaching Facing the Giants. Go to Numbers 21. You know, many people feel it easier to run away from the giant, but the problem is the giant always overtakes you. You can't run from the giants. You have to turn around and fight them. So today we are facing the giants. I'll kill somebody. Numbers chapter 21. What chapter?
21.
All right, thank you. Thank you. Numbers 21. In verse 1, let's read it. The king of Arad, the Canaanite, who dwelt in the south, heard that Israel was coming on the road to Amathron. Then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. So Israel made a what? A vow to the Lord. And said, if you will indeed deliver this people into our hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. And the Lord listened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities. So the name of that place was called Harmon. Then they journeyed from the Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people became very discouraged on the way. Now, one of the things that happens is, you know, God can show you something very powerful. Man, you can have a powerful revelation. He answered your prayer. You're like, woohoo, all right, praise God, God's with me. And then you're continuing on the journey. And the next thing you know, you're discouraged. Then it's like, where are you at, man? Where are you at, Papa? Where are you, Lord? Why have you cast down my soul? Why have you disquieted my soul within me? Where are you? See, he says he'll never leave us nor forsake us. So what had happened is sometimes on this journey before the next event happens or the next prayer gets answered, the devil always tries to discourage you. Why? Because he wants you to let go of what you prayed for. Come on. He wants you to what? Let go of what you've prayed for. Now, this is what happened. Look at verse 5. And the people spoke against God and against Moses and said, why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no food and no water, and our soul loathes this worthless bread. Now, what was that worthless bread? Man, that was coming from heaven. I mean, this thing was spiritually, supernaturally, miracle-like appearing to feed these people. And they called it worthless bread, but they forgot who was providing it, didn't they? You know what they were doing? They were looking at what they didn't have and not being grateful of what they had. Come on. See, when the enemy gets you to look at what you don't have, instant discouragement will come. He's got hook, jaw, and sinker. When you begin to look at what you don't have instead of grateful what you have, discouragement is instant. See, once he places that picture in you and you begin to look at those things, the first thing is, woe is me. This is exactly what they said. Why did you bring us out of bondage and slavery? Like, hello. To bring us into the wilderness and feed us this worthless bread that falls from heaven. How much more can we eat this bread? We've made it in every kind of way you could. Bread and dust, bread and dirt, bread and stone. We've tried everything. We are so tired of this bread. Man, you know, when we were in slavery, at least we got a chicken now and then. You know, when we were in slavery, we got fed every day. Yeah, I got scars to show it. I was whipped and beat. My family was destroyed. My wife was raped. My children were abused. But, you know, I ate good. Oh, soulish flesh creatures that we become. You know, you remember when you were in bondage and how you cried daily, Lord, help me. When you remember the torment that tormented you with guilt and condemnation, with fear, anxiety, and stress, you remember that. Remember all the mistakes that you made, and then the devil comes and reminds you. Oh, are you looking at what you don't have? Or are you looking at what you have right now? Oh, praise God. And so the people grumbled and complained. And verse 6, here was the response of the Lord. So the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people. Many of them of Israel died. Therefore, the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned. Hello. It took serpents to be manifested, for them to bite them and many people to die, for them to recognize, whoops, we sinned. Thank God we have the Holy Ghost now. We don't have to wait for serpents. We have sinned, for we are forsaken and have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. So Moses prayed for the people. Then the Lord said to Moses, make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and it shall be that anyone who is bitten, when he looks at it, will live. And that's what the price of the cross. Are you listening? The price of the cross. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen the medical insignia. Well, the medical insignia is a serpent on the pole. So when they looked at it, it was a representation of Christ becoming the serpent on the pole for me and you, because he took our sins. And it's a reminder of what he did for me and you. So when you're going through all of your stuff and you're facing the giants, remember what Christ did for you. Remember the price that was paid. And in that price, there was an inheritance given to you. Anybody remember the three of them? Power, authority, and what? Dominion. Power, authority, and dominion was released to me and you. That's your inheritance. So see, you don't have to run from the giants. You can take them out. So in a journey after God answered their prayer, let me tell you, you're going to face the giants in your path. Again, the number one giant is discouragement. Always. So we've got to look at the cross of not what you and I have done, but what Christ has done, what he's done. And that price of the cross and the benefits of his covenant, they're for me and you. Go to Numbers 32. And verse 6, Numbers 32 and verse 6, facing the giants. What giants are you facing today? And your spouse is not the giant. Your boss is not the giant. Okay, your kids are not the giants. Your roommate's not the giant. Hello, and your job is not the giant. Hallelujah. In verse 6, let's read this together. And Moses said to the children of God and to the children of Reuben, shall your brethren go to war while you sit here? Now why will you discourage the heart of the children of Israel? from going over into the land which the Lord has given them. Thus your fathers did when I sent them away from Kadesh Barnea to see the land. For when they went up to the valley Achor and saw the land, they what? Discouraged the heart of the children of Israel. So they did not go into the land which the Lord had given them. So what's the enemy trying to do? Discourage you so you don't what? Go into the land or possess what God has promised you. Discouragement is going to cause something. Watch this. So the Lord's anger was what? Was aroused on that day, and he swore an oath, saying, surely none of the men who came up from Egypt from the 20 years old and above shall see the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, because they have not wholly followed me and wholly followed me, except Caleb, the son of Jephron, and the Kenizzite, and Joshua, the son of Nun, and for they have wholly followed me, completely sold out. So the Lord's anger was aroused against Israel, and he made them what? Wander in the wilderness 40 years until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was what? Gone. So something that happens, and the enemy knows this. He knows that if he can bring you into a place of discouragement and cause you to agree with it and grumble and complain, it will cause you to go into wilderness and wander, not knowing what to do. I call that the wilderness syndrome of delusion, despair, and unworthiness. Come on, I want you to write this down. It's the wilderness syndrome of delusion, despair, and unworthiness. And that's what the enemy loves to get you into. Why? Because then he prevents you from fulfilling the promise and taking the land or the covenant that God has promised you. You people begin to look in other directions. Discouragement is one of the number one ploys of the enemy that comes into our life. We fight it daily, don't we? And then what happens is you begin to look at other people and you wonder why God has done it for them and not for you. But he's not asking you to look at anyone else. He's asking you to look at him who's fulfilled all things for you already. See, when you begin to look at someone else and it brings discouragement, the giant gets bigger. Are you listening? Don't feed the giant. Destroy him. Hallelujah. Go to Deuteronomy 1. Deuteronomy chapter 1. Everyone say, I'm possessing the land. In fulfilling the promises of God. Because I'm blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. It's predestined for me. I decree it. I claim it. I profess it. And I've got it. It's mine. Now I'm lifting my hands. And I'm going to receive hatred for the devil. Hatred for the devil. Love for the people of God. Love for the lost. Hatred for the devil. In Jesus' name. Y'all were a little hesitated when I said, and I'm going to have hatred. Oh. Well, didn't you believe? Have you no faith? The Bible says, hate evil. Amen? Well, you think I was going to mislead you? Repent and try again. Deuteronomy chapter 1, verse 21. Man, everybody got quiet there. Should I say this? Verse 21, is everybody there? Look to the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it. As the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not what? Fear or be discouraged. Oh, fear. Fear. See, y'all feared. Some of y'all feared her to say, I'm on hatred. It was fear. Does the devil fear you? Yes. So you shouldn't fear him. He fears you more. You just don't know it. Go up and possess the land, but don't let fear and discouragement move you. And every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us of the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall come. Now, wait a minute. The Lord said, go take it. They were like, hold on a second. We're going to get confirmation on this. God has told them over and over, go take it. Possess the land. Take it by force. And yet they delayed. They said, okay, let's send somebody go look. Why? What was gripping them? Fear. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and he departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. They also took some of the fruit of the land in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving us. Nevertheless, you would not want to go up. But what? Rebelled against the commandment of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us unto the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Now, wait a minute. What did the Lord tell them? Go up and what? Take the land. Why are you looking in the natural? Amen. Where can we go up? Our brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, up to where? Heaven. Man, these cities went up to heaven. I'd say they're a little exaggerated. Moreover, we have seen the sons of Anakim. Now, these were known as giants. And there were giants. They were offsprings of the fallen angels. Then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them, says the Lord. Then the Lord your God who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet for all that you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in a way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go, in the fire by night and the cloud by day. And the Lord heard the sound of your words and was angered and took an oath, saying, surely not one of these men of this evil generation shall see that good land of which I swore to give to your fathers. Wow, this is pretty remarkable, isn't it? So again, fear and discouragement. The enemy's ploy is to stop us from taking possession. Amen? Taking possession. It's already been predestined for me and you to take possession. Quit looking naturally. Quit looking naturally. Now, listen, if you're not staying filled with the Spirit and eating of the Word of God, you're going to always look naturally. You're going to depend men on men to bring things instead of God. Everyone say, the Lord is my source. Everything else is a resource. Say it again. The Lord is my source. Everything else is a resource. I will not fear nor be discouraged. I command in the name of Jesus that those two giants leave my path. In Jesus' name. You got it. Turn to your neighbor and say, you got it. Turn to your other neighbor and say, you got it. Luke 12. Luke 12. Turn to your neighbor and say, don't lose it. Luke 12, 31. Which is to say, verse 31. But seek the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added to you. Do not fear, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell what you have and give alms. Provide for yourselves money bags which do not grow old, a treasure in the heavens that does not fail, where no thief approaches nor moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, they may open the door to him immediately. Ooh. Blessed are those servants whose the master, when he comes, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. Wow. Is everybody okay? So listen, he says it's his good pleasure to give you, right? To give you the kingdom. Don't fear. It's the Father's good pleasure. So seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things will be added to you. Go to Matthew 10. Matthew 10. Hallelujah. Is everybody there? Matthew 10 and verse 27. Verse 27. Let's read it together. Whatever I tell you in dark, speak in the light. And what you hear in the ear, preach on the housetops. And do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. But rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a copper coin? And not one of them falls to the ground apart from your Father's will. But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Do not fear, therefore, you are of more value than many sparrows. Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I also will confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Do not think I've come to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a what? Sword. And what's that sword for? To fight. You know what? If you're not in the battle, you become a casualty. You must fight. That's how you don't possess anything by waiting. You possess things by battle. And I'm not saying that sometimes you're not waiting on things, but while you're waiting on things, you're battling something else. You are more valuable than the sparrows. Go to 1 Samuel 17. Facing the giants. First Samuel 17. David had a giant he had to face. Goliath was an offspring, the fallen ones. He was a giant, big dude. All of the army of Israel wouldn't even fight him. And here comes a little shepherd boy. But you know what? He had a relationship with the Lord. And God's presence carried him. And in verse 40, it says, then he took his staff in his hand. And he chose for himself what? Five what? Smooth stones from the brook. From where? Is that where water goes? So he took something from the river, didn't he? What river was that? What do you think kind of river that was? That's the anointing, wasn't it? He didn't go to dry land to get it. He went to the brook to get it. Because he knew that the water flow would cause a smoothness on those stones. See, because the anointing has a way of cutting the edges off of us. Hello. He chose five stones, anointed, and put them in the shepherd's bag and a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand. And he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began drawing near to David. Now they were running towards each other. And so the Philistine came and began drawing near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog?" And he was a dog. He was a demonized individual. "That you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come to me with a sword, with a spear, with a javelin, and a cursed mouth. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." In other words, he was talking about the armies of the unseen realm, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike your big butt down here and take your head from you. And this day I will give your carcass of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is only one God of Israel and one true God who creates all things. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword or the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands today. Have you said that to your giants lately? So it was when the Philistine arose and came and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. He didn't run to the right or to the left. In fact, he didn't even back up. He didn't pull out the stones and go, "Oh, do I have all five?" He ran towards the Philistine, the giant. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out what? How many? One. Only one is all it took. One stone. And he slung it as he was running towards the Philistine. And the Philistine was running towards him. Come on, he had a helmet on. He didn't have but a 3x3-inch area to get it in there. And he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, the only opened area. But he already struck him when he spoke the word. He was a dead man already. David was going to have his head no matter what. Do you understand that? Because the word of the Lord is stronger than the word of the devil. The word of the Lord will not return void. The devil's word won't return void if you agree with it. So you combat what the devil says with the word of God. Amen? And it becomes the sword of the Spirit if it's backed by the anointing. Hallelujah. And the Philistines that stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone and struck the Philistine and killed him. But there was no sword in the hand of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of his sheath and killed him and cut off his head with the Philistine's own sword. And when the Philistine saw it, that their champion was dead, They became afraid and discouraged. Hallelujah. They became what? Afraid and discouraged, right? They fled. They booked. Man, they dropped all their weapons. They dropped their cash. They ran. That's how you get spoiled. You got to beat them up. You got to cut the heads off. I love cutting heads off of serpents. Part-time sport. People see me out my front lawn sometimes. There goes Pastor again, chasing that serpent. There goes another one. Another one that can't carry a demon. Five smooth stones out of the anointed river. I want to tell you what these five smooth stones are. The first one is faith. First one is what? Faith. That is to see in the present. Faith is not blind. Faith comes by what? Hearing. You know, you also hear God's promises, you know. See, if you've read his promises and you are in covenant with him, then you know what his promises are. So when you're getting ready to battle, he quickens you to the promises, so he's speaking you. Faith is to see in the present. The second stone is hope. That is to see it finished. Seeing in the future. Faith, hope. The third stone is to believe. That means to endure with patience or endurance. Because I believed, I followed through. Does everybody got it? The word believe means to what? Follow. So because I believed, I followed through. Faith is to see in the present, hope to see it finished. Believe is to endure with patience. Love is for your God. Number four is love. The fourth stone is love. The Bible says that perfect love casts out all fear. It says that we're to love him because he first loved us. So if there's truly a relationship of love, you love for your God unto death. David was not afraid of dying because he was doing it for the cause of his God because he loved him. And the fifth one is peace. It's peace that surpasses all natural understanding. In other words, just do it. Don't try to figure it out. You take that covenant that God said to you. Don't question it. Just do it. Take the land. Possess it. Fight your giants. David took one stone. It only took one stone. He had four to reload, you know. Just in case he missed the first one. Does everybody hear this? So you have five stones to utilize. Faith, hope, believe, love, and peace. Use them. And face your giants. Now you may have giants that have finances, you may have giants of fear, you may have giants of discouragement, giants of doubt, relationships, whatever your giant is. Quit letting your giant determine your destiny. You change the course of destiny by what you speak to that giant. Cut its head off so it stops speaking. James chapter 2. No, I don't want anybody showing up with slingshots in our next Bible study, okay? James chapter 2. verse 17. James chapter 2, 17. Let's read it together. Thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is what? Dead. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I'll show you my faith by my works. You believe that there is one God, you do well. Even the demons believe and tremble. But do you want to know, O foolish man, that faith without works is dead? So that means something important. Faith is associated with works, isn't it? It's what you sow. It's what I what? Sow. David sowed in the spirit, didn't he? And he overtook Goliath. And you and I must not only sow in the spirit by what we speak, but we do the works to show our faith that we believe. Are you listening? And there's something that we're going to do today. Because I didn't take an offering yet. And in your offering today, I want you to put on your offering what it is that you want to take out, what giants are in your way. Does everybody understand that? If you don't have an offering, I still want you to put it in. I want you to write something of what are your giants that you want to be removed from your way, from the path of God. And then everybody here that's here today, I want you, everyone here, for the next 30 days to pray that everyone that has sowed a prayer or a seed, that those giants be removed from their life. Because you're going to pray for everybody else's giants. Has everybody got it? Will you do that? Will everybody do that for the next 30 days? If you agree with it and you do it, you're blessed. If you don't do it, a curse will come upon you because you'll be called a liar. So don't agree with it if you're not going to do it. Please. So for the next 30 days, whatever giants are in your path that God has set for you, everybody here is going to pray, Lord, everyone that sowed seed and a request about the giants, I ask, Father, that you'll remove them from their path. Amen? Has everybody got it? So we're going to battle for one another, aren't we? Amen. Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Get your prayer requests to us. We're waiting for them. Email us. Email us. TrueMinistriesChurch@yahoo.com. Has everybody got it? TrueMinistriesChurch@yahoo.com. Email your giants. Verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with what? Endurance, a race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that we set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become what? Weary and discouraged in your souls. In other words, remember what he did for you. You have not yet resisted to bloodshed, striving against sin, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by him. For whom the Lord loves, he what? Chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which you have become partakers, then you are an illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in submission and subjection to the Father of spirits, and what? And live. Oh, hallelujah. So, you know, there's going to be correction. Don't get discouraged. Just get in position and get rid of those giants. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 15. Everybody there? Let's read it. Therefore, I also, after heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and a knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the age which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Hallelujah. Everyone say, I've been predestined for the inheritance with power, authority, dominion, and victory. So I command all my giants and all the giants of those who are here today to leave the path that God has set for them in Jesus' name. Now listen, we're going to bring the offering up this morning. So I'm going to ask that you give your best and put your request in so we can kick butt on these giants. Amen? Praise God.
Praise God. While you're writing out your requests, the Lord just put it on my heart to share with you where this teaching was birthed out of, which Pastor probably wouldn't share with you, so I'm going to expose him a little bit here today. We were in our kitchen this morning, and my husband's been a little bit more distant lately. And I said to him, honey, you don't seem yourself. He said, you know, he doesn't say anything. He doesn't grumble. He doesn't complain. He doesn't murmur. He doesn't share it with the neighbors. He doesn't feel sorry for himself. He just said, you know, I'm just feeling a little discouraged. I said, well, I'm with you. You know, because we pray for things to happen. We're not seeing the answers that we're expecting. We're not seeing God answer us in the way that we would like them to be answered. Anybody else go through that? So I want you to know by example that because the man of God is going through something, say, God will put me through something. But what are you going to do about it? I want you to learn from example what he does about it. Because he went to the Lord with that one word, discouragement, and fed himself from the word of God to break that off. He was able to feed a whole congregation of sheep. And if you were going to get from the word of God, from the lesson God's trying to put you through, how many could you feed? How many could you help? How many could you impart into? Don't just wait to come here and somebody to shake your dust off. You go shake it off. You learn from example what the man of God does. He's an example in our home. He's an example to me. Are you an example in your home? Or are you grumbling? Okay, go to the word. And praise God. And one more thing, just because the pastor said that you don't need an offering to bring your prayer request doesn't release you from what the Lord already told you to bring. Hello. God told you something and you're like, oh, well, that doesn't mean, now I can bring just my paper. The paper won't count if God already told you what to bring. Amen. So praise God. So I just want you to know, and in that, let's pray for our pastor. You know what? If more people were praying for him and for the vision of this ministry, maybe things would be answered quicker. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we just bow before you today, Lord God. Where's David? David Lacaz, come here. Sorry, right in front of me. Pray, David.
Father, we come together right now in your precious name, Jesus, Lord, and we thank you for this day of giving us victory in advance for the giants that's in our lives today. Lord, we know that your word is true, and you say that if we just obey by your words, that as your commands come forth, they will overcome and take over the land. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're about to do and what you already have done on the cross. So bring it about for your word, Lord. We believe your word, and we are doers of your word. So we know that it shall come to pass. We know by confidence of who you are in us. So let it shall be done. We thank you, and we give you glory for everything that receives in that box, that we know that it shall come to pass, because you said it shall. So we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Now bring your offering. A lot of people don't realize. I usually don't say nothing. I'm trying to hold it back as I'm sitting here. But God confirmed his word today. Because God showed me that yesterday. I went to the word and he brought me to 1 Samuel 17. And he was talking about giants. And I was wondering why. And God confirmed it. You know, he brings confirmation, revelation first to bring confirmation. Now we just wait for the manifestation to happen.
Amen.
It's coming. It's coming to those who believe. I just want you to know that. The anointing comes from the head first, and it flows down the body. Are we part of the body?
Yes.
So believe. Now, Father, I just ask that as the anointing comes on this head, I ask that you bless it. 20,000 folds. Let it be enriched within, because then as it comes down through the head, it comes down to his children. So we receive, Lord, and let it bring health, wealth, and as discouragement is be cut off today,
yes.
That he do not receive discouragement no more, but he flows with the anointing with it. We thank you, Lord, for what you have given him throughout the years to us. And Lord, we thank you for him abiding in you. So as his word speaks forth, Lord, let it bring victory to each and every one in our families, our homes, our lives, our lifestyles. Let it bring victory. Lord, we thank you and we receive it today. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.